Our first reading is from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me, my whole life one long obedient response to you. Guide me down the road of your commandments. I love traveling this freeway. Give me a bent for your words of wisdom and not for piling up loot. Divert my eyes from toys and trinkets. Invigorate me on the pilgrim's way. Affirm your promise to me, promises made to all who fear you. Deflect the harsh words of my critics, but what you say is always good. See how hungry I am for your counsel. Preserve my life through your righteous ways.
Before our scripture reading, I just want to share with you the fact that during the past week I got news from South Africa, from the church that I served more than 40 years ago. It's too dangerous for them to go out at night time and so on, and so they've been listening to our sermons being published on our website. And they now have a weekly gathering where they actually play, they download and they play their exact service as you hear it here in church. Isn't that wonderful? I was so proud when I received the message. Our scripture reading this morning is from the 15th chapter of John, verses 12 through 17. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we celebrate his word, also at the communion table today. Lucy stands with her arms folded and she has a resolute expression on her face while Charlie Brown is pleading, "Lucy, Lucy, you must be more loving. This world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place in which to live." On that, Lucy whirls around angrily, causing Charlie Brown to do a backwards flip and screams at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, it is people I can't stand." A few hurricane seasons ago, somewhere in Florida, a vicious hurricane destroyed an entire church building, beautiful building like we know in this morning. And by the time the TV cameras arrived, some church members had gathered, searching through the rubble to see if there's anything left that was worth saving. And then the TV crew noticed a woman standing beside the rubble. Will I ever forget her comment? While she was looking straight into the TV camera, she said, "Well, that's true. We have now lost our church building, but the real church is still here, and we have much to do." That touched my heart. In that moment of darkness, with nothing else to fall back upon, this woman summarized the heart of our Christian faith. The darker it gets, the brighter they shine. For Jesus, love was no optional accessory that some of his followers might perhaps decide upon if they so preferred. Jesus demonstrated and taught love as the only foundation for true and sincere faith. The Bible does not say that God has love. The Bible says that God is love. There's a difference. Jesus taught love, even already on the cross of Calvary. Jesus taught love not as a suggestion, not as a good idea at times, never as a byproduct of anything else. He said, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also should love one another." And then comes that litmus test, that shibboleth. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's kept me busy for hours. Just quiet, couldn't go on. It is so full. People will never recognize you as my follower if they don't witness, if they don't see that love in one another. This means that love for one another is as much a sign to the outside world of who and what being a Christian is all about, as much as the bread and wine already now prepared for us for today. So there is no ifs, there's no buts, there's no maybes. If we in this church place love one another, the world will know that this is truly a church of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else. They will notice our love for one another. They will admire it. They will desire it. And they will heed our calls and invitations. And these pews will become fuller and fuller Sunday after Sunday, lured by love that is open, that's visible, that is sincere. You know, if we do not love one another, if we are negative about some of us, talk behind their backs, if we ignore one another, if we hold grudges against one another, if we fail to love this church, the church that many of us love with all our hearts and with so much passion, then this church will fail to be a true church of Jesus Christ, and its future will be uncertain. In spite of everything else we say and do, without love, our faith, our church, our best intentions will definitely fail. Someone described it, love, as follows, asking the question, now what is love? Love is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbor is curt. It is deafness when the scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. The sad reality is that so many talk about love without ever allowing love to invade their entire life and to change them completely from the inside out. During a dark period in American history, when the American nation was at war with itself, Martin Luther King said, "We must agree to love and live together as brothers and sisters, or be ready to perish together as fools." Many of us know the popular film, The Color Purple, in which Oprah Winfrey plays the role of Sophia during a dark and troubling time in her life. Poor Sophia experienced some kindnesses that actually changed her life. And looking back on those kindnesses, not only in the movie, but in the person that she was playing, she said, "It was then, that moment, that I knew there was a God." For her, it was convincing evidence that God exists and that God is love. In an unloving world, there are still many people who really do not care about others around them. And we believe that love originated from the very heart of God. With every act of loving kindness to another, we are God's witnesses to a world in darkness. And we have only one message. God is love. Earlier this week, I had to conduct a funeral, a wonderful meeting with the family beforehand, and we were talking about this because in the family are people who do not believe the way that we believe. So, as I always do, I discussed with them the situation before and say, "Now, we must develop this service together, and I want each one of the family to feel that this is my loved one being buried." And finally, the one thing that we could agree upon was that God is love. And that was wonderful. And that was the heart of my sermon on Friday afternoon. "By this," Jesus said, "shall all people know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Love is our primary witness to the world. Once again, prepared for you and me today, the table is ready. See the elements of bread and wine. This table is set for our celebration and the remembrance of the love that has already changed the lives of so many of us, of so many countless millions of people across the entire world. Jesus, in this broken bread, we observe your love for us. In this cup, O Lord, we celebrate forgiveness through your name. Teach us to love, O God. Break now the bread of life, O Savior, to me, as you once broke the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek you, Lord. My spirit yearns for you, O loving Word. Amen.